Now, 97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, and Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency present The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Renner on the play action, looking deep. Going to go to Highsmith, leaping for the touchdown. What a grab!
Join us for the next hour of our pregame coverage as Art Chansky and internet legend Bob Lee of Bob Lee Says discuss Carolina football and all the hot topics concerning college football here in town, across the ACC, and across the country.
Still on his feet at the 30. Bernard is going to score. Oh, my goodness, what a run by Gio Bernard. The wide receiver going to throw it. The Tar Heels pick it off. Trey Boston.
The Good Sports is brought to you by the Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency, your one-stop insurance destination right here in the southern part of heaven. Let the Seagrove's Insurance Agency take care of you. Seagrovesinsurance.com. Now, page two of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage.
Heels with the lead. Another handoff to Bernard. He's into the secondary. Goodbye.
The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Well, good afternoon. This is Ron Stutz along with Art Chansky and Bob Lee. And this is actually going in almost 2 hours of our coverage already. We started today at 12 noon with a special 90-minute edition of Countdown to Kickoff. And now it's The Good Sports. Bob Lee is a legend in his own mind at BobLeeSays.com. Art Chansky, WCHL, and ChapelBro.com, columnist and all-around raconteur. And the first thing we need to talk about today.
Well, first thing I need to ask you, we need to redo that opening because it says across the ACC and across here and across there. We have to add across campus.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. That should have been in there in the in the first place. The first thing I guess we need to talk about today is, as unpleasant as it may be for all of us involved, let's talk about last week's game against Wake Forest.
Is this called the Wake After Wake?
Yes. Let's talk about Wake.
Jay Boyd had his foot in a cast. So, and Carolina's already weak at wide receiver anyway. So those are two big losses for the Tar Heels. Had they beaten Wake Forest, they'd be 2-0, and you know they're going to into a very difficult game today, which we all hope they win, but it'll be a very difficult game to win. But it would have been better going in 2-0 than 1-1, considering the physical nature of the injuries.
Do you think the Fedora bandwagon has been lessened, has been jumped off of? Is there anyone, and of course fans go from one extreme of idiocy to the other, that has jumped off the Fedora bandwagon now?
No, I don't think so, but I do think that they were expecting him maybe to cure the Carolina culture of not being able to finish games and making mistakes and blowing leads, which was very prevalent in the Butch Davis era. Mm-hmm. You know, as we talked about, Carolina, think about this, Bob Lee and Ron, Carolina football has not won 9 games since 1997. And when you watch the NFL on Sundays over the years and you see all of the Tar Heels that go across the crawl on the screen and how many plays that we've put in the NFL, to not win 9 games in 15 years, it's pretty amazing. You know, we've had very good football players there and some very good teams, but what happened at Wake Forest was really, it mirrored what's happened in many, many games over the years where we just couldn't hold leads in the fourth quarter or we just blew games with mistakes. And I think people were expecting Larry Fedora to fix that because he's so intense, he's such a detailed guy. And I think he will fix it, but probably not in 2 weeks. Because
well, I certainly do, too. I mean, I think anyone who says, oh, my gosh, same old Carolina ball that they said, you know, every time from Carl Snavely right on up now. I mean, that's a bunch of hooey. That we came within 1 point, you know, maybe if Brent Renner hadn't had his bell rung there, it might have been a little bit different. But it's still, you're talking about 1 point to a good team, not a great team. I mean, Jim Grobe doesn't have great teams. He has real good, solid teams, at least in the early season before injuries reduce him to playing walk-ons. But we caught him early and
Well, you know, I had the typical Wake Forest stomach ache in that game because we get in the red zone twice. Eric Highsmith holds inside the 5-yard line, which pushes the ball back 10 yards, and we have to kick a field goal. And then, so Casey Barth ties Connor's record. And then the next time in the red zone, Casey Barth breaks Connor's record. But what that leaves us is a 6-point lead and me with a giant stomach ache because I'm saying we're still one score away from losing the game. And even though we had shut Wake Forest down the entire second half, you're not going to shut a Jim Grobe team down pretty much all half long. And then when we pin him at their own 7-yard line with a great kick by Hibbert and a great tackle by who made the tackle? By Kevin Reddick, right? They have to go 93 yards. Anthony Wellman just bailed me out there. But you don't think that's possible, but they do. And we had a couple of penalties that kept the drive moving. And, you know, that was the heartbreak of the game. It really was a heartbreaker.
Arthur, did that receiver for Wake Forest remind you of Ricky Prohl?
No, he reminded me of Wes Welker.
Well, I'm going back further.
No, Ricky Prohl was taller than
all right.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go with Wes Welker.
Okay.
Well, he reminds. Hi, Stutch. You got anything important to say about that?
He reminds me of an NFL player. I'll tell you that because he was awfully good. He is Campanera. I mean, he's just an amazing player. And I haven't heard anybody ready to jump off the Larry Fedora bandwagon. I think Larry Fedora, no question about it, is the right man for the job. He's doing all the right things. You know, you're going to have some setbacks. I mean, it's a big transition. Only the second game they had played in a brand new system, and the first one they had played against really good competition. So, you know. Everybody, I still love Coach Fedora. I think everybody does, and we're ready for some big things in our future for Carolina football.
All right, I got a question, guys.
Yeah.
The last time we went up to Louisville, that darn train whistle is still ringing in my head that we played Georgia played Louisville up there. I think it was a John Bunning team, and I don't know how bad we got beat, but it was like Savannah State playing the Packers.
They scored 59 on us.
Oh, remember 59, the train whistle.
That was, I'll tell you what that was. The Rolling Stones were playing at Duke that night.
Really?
Right, and I went to the Rolling Stones concert, and when I got there, the football game wasn't over yet, and I saw three coaches' wives at the concert. That's really? How much we were getting our rumps kicked in that game.
Wasn't Ricky Prohl playing bass for the Rolling Stones that night?
I don't know. I just got another stomach ache because Florida State's leading Wake Forest 31-0, which tells us that Wake Forest probably isn't.
They played their season last week.
There we go. All right. Well, I remember when John Bunning was here, there was talk about him going to Philadelphia to a Rolling Stones concert.
I thought he was a Pink Floyd guy.
Nah, well, he may be, but he
was he going
Stones
the
too.
Night before the game or the night after?
I don't know, man. Maybe you should have gone that day. I don't know, but at any rate, I wasn't there.
If he
in
didn't
Louisville.
Go, Don went. I'm sure.
So. I don't remember the train whistle, but you know, how can you? You can't really always compare scores. I mean, Wake Forest beats Carolina. Wake Forest getting wiped out by Florida State right now, but that's really kind of embarrassing.
No, and you really can't. But the point is. Last week, the game was there to be had. It was right in our hands. All we had to do was turn one of those field goals into a touchdown. You know, don't make a stupid penalty on the drive. Stop a 93-yard drive and hang on to win. You're not going to play great, but it's best when you don't play great and you can still manage to win. You know, that really builds the confidence of a team if you play not up to your best and you still win. And we were that far from doing that. So now you go into a game against 19th-ranked Louisville with a guy that's leading the country in passing, Teddy Bridgewater, who's obviously, you know, Dean Smith used to say that the biggest improvement that athletes make are between their freshman and sophomore years.
Yeah.
Well, Teddy Bridgewater, he threw it sideways last year, you know, remember here at Keenan Stadium. But he's gained 30 pounds. He's now completed 82% of his passes for 576 yards, and he's a pretty good runner. And Charlie Strong is a great defensive coach anyway, and he's got a new offensive coordinator. So this is a much better Louisville team than we saw in Keenan last year, and we're playing them next to the train.
I hope people don't really have high expectations based on our defeating Louisville last year, because this is a far different Louisville football
team. That Louisville
team.
Game last year was one of the most unmemorable wins I can remember. I mean, I remember being there, and I remember we won, but it was like, yeah, and what else do you remember? That's all I remember. It was just one of those games. It was just a game.
Well, you know, today is an opportunity. If Larry Fedora can get through to his team, a lot of coaches can't. You know, as great of a recruiter as Butch Davis was, he couldn't seem to get through to his team from week to week to keep them from making the same mistakes over and over again, because we put better talent on the field most of the time. Maybe Larry Fedora is the kind of guy that really can take those mistakes and get them to to correct them in this shorter period of time, because that's what's going to have to happen. They cannot play anywhere like they played last week and have a chance to win this game.
Turn a negative into a positive.
Right.
My view of this game and the other nine to follow, I think we're playing with house money this year. I mean, I'd like to see us, as Tom O'Brien says, win 11 games this year, and we can. But whether we do or not, to me, this is Larry Fedora putting in his new offense, dealing with a whole new system, dealing with kids that weren't necessarily designed for his system. And everything we win is to his credit. And any time that we don't is kind of, well, let's go on, let's tee it up and play it again.
Yeah, I know. That's true to an extent, but you want to be successful because you don't want that to get into recruiting. You don't want the negative recruiting from other schools to be saying, hey, Larry Fedora could win in Conference USA, but he can't win in the ACC.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a big-time coach, which is,
not true.
We know that's not true. It's not going to prove to be true, but you want to win games, and especially if you're not going to a bowl game. You know, you want to win as many games, and particularly the important games. And last week was an important game. And they still technically could win the state championship, but, you know, if State beats Wake and we beat State. But we really wanted to win all five of those in-state games and say we're not going to a bowl. But, hey, we're the state champions.
You're counting Elon as an in-state game, right?
Well, of course, and East Carolina,
so we're
too.
1-1 on the in-state state championship. Okay.
Well, we're 1-0 in bowl division games, and we're 0-1 in whatever our guest Tommy later will be able to explain to us exactly what the various levels are called these days.
And who's the Elon coach? Jason Swepson.
I was going to say Ricky Prohl, but whatever.
And they named Swepsonville after him.
Yeah.
You know that?
Obviously. Yeah. What about?
I got the question.
All right.
Does anybody here, Anthony? You can play this if you want to. Do you know what a thunder jag is?
Thunder Jag.
Thunder Jag. The South Alabama Thunder Jags are
really
at the Carter tonight.
I have
the
no idea.
Thunder
what that
Jags
is.
Of South Alabama at North Mobile, Alabama. South Alabama are the Thunder Jags.
Well, they used to be the Comanches or something. They had to change their name, obviously, right?
Is that Thunder?
Can you change to Thunder Jags?
Yeah, because they, yeah, I mean, they took something away.
Is that because Stanford only had a big fir tree?
Is that like short for Thunder Jaguars or something? I don't know.
I told you all I know. It's a small website. It doesn't have a lot. I had to look at it and see where in South Alabama were they.
Go to
thunderjag.com. The Thunder Jags have invaded the Carter Fairgrounds today.
You mean the concrete?
And apparently game day is not there.
Go to thunderjags.com for more details. I have no clue. I never heard of that.
People want to know, why should we listen to the good sports? Why are you guys different?
This is Ron Stutz along with Art Skansky and Bob Lee. This is the Good Sports on WCHL. Exclusive coverage of Carolina football, 97.9 FM, WCHL, your flagship station for Carolina football. We'll be back to talk about not only football, but some things that have happened around our community this past week. That is on the way. And we also have a very special guest who's going to keep law and order in this room. I promise, because he's very experienced at that. We'll be back in just a moment.
UNC Family Medicine is offering free information sessions this fall designed to educate parents. Topics include 6 easier ways to give birth, helping your baby or child learn to sleep at night, taming tantrums for toddlers, disciplining the young child, understanding learning disabilities, and ADHD in the school-age child, and talking to your preteen about sexuality. All sessions are free and take place at UNC Family Medicine. Call Lisa Biggs at 843-7678 to reserve a seat. That's Lisa Biggs at 843-7678.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Duke Integrative Medicine presents a free screening of the award-winning documentary, Escape Fire, The Fight to Rescue American Healthcare. Follow dramatic human stories as well as leaders fighting to transform healthcare at the highest levels of medicine, industry, government, and even the U.S. military. Wednesday, September 19th, 7 p.m., Reynolds Theater on the Duke University campus. For your free tickets, go to tickets.duke.edu or call 919-684-4444.
Ah, day off, nothing to do, time to relax.
Honey, here's your list of things to do today.
Ah, great.
Hey, no need to punt. Drop back and go long to Fitz Lumber and Hardware. We have always insisted on supplying the most valuable building products backed by our fast-paced, no-huddle service. Come see us in Carver at 309 North Greensboro Street or call us at 919-942-3153. Or check us out online at FitzLumber.com to help get your game plan together. Now go on.
There's no such thing as a free lunch. We've all heard this before, but how does it relate to your bank? Harrington Bank is one of the only banks in the Triangle who truly provides free checking. Our competitors say free, but they require you to maintain a hefty balance or limit your transactions. When Harrington Bank says free, we mean free. Free personal checking, free business checking, no lengthy requirements. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn more. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Speed. They got, especially on defensively, you can really see them fly around. I mean, they can run. They got two defensive ends that get off on the ball and can go. I mean, they can give your quarterback a lot of problems. They're secondary. They like to play a lot of man coverage. They're fast. Offensively, that quarterback is extremely talented. He can beat you with his legs or he can beat you with his arm. I mean, either way about it.
That is Coach Larry Fedora of Louisville talking about Louisville and how they have such speed both on defense and offense as guys that can get up and down the field north to south. They can go side to side. And Teddy Bridgewater, of course, the quarterback, can certainly do that with his feet. So he can beat you in a number of ways. Carolina versus Louisville coming up. Kickoff time 3:30 today. This is The Good Sports with Artsy and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Stutz. And back to you guys because we got a lot to talk about in our community this week.
Exactly, and I'll put this in a football context. You know, Matt Kupak was one of...
Well, that just got all our listeners paying attention, didn't it?
...was one of my heroes. First of all, his older brother, Chris Kupak, was a star quarterback here before he was. He was all ACC in 1974 and really got screwed out of another year of eligibility when the ACC refused to ratify.
Southern States Volkswagen of Durham is having the biggest sale of the year. Every model is on sale, and now is the time to buy your new Volkswagen. All 2012 Volkswagen Jettas, Tiguans, and Beetles. Take up to $3,000 off MSRP or get 0% for up to 72 months. With these deals, there's just one thing you ought to know. There's only one place you'll ever buy from again. Southern States Volkswagen of Durham. Based on stock number W8580. Includes all rebates, 0% on approved credit.
Essequamwa Dairy. To be rather than to seem. It's our state motto and a guiding principle of the new Top of the Hill Distillery. Makers of Topo Vodka and Whiskey. Now I know we aren't the first distillery around here, but we are the first legal one. And the first one on Franklin Street. Besides that, we're also the first all-local, organic, from-scratch distillery in the South. We just started shipping our Topo brand vodka, so start looking for it on the shelves of the ABC store, around the ECU or Idaho game. Cheers!
If you're a woman looking for prenatal care, you should know about UNC Family Medicine. They know how important your pregnancy, birth experience, and first years of your child's life are to you and to your family. And now they offer group care, social support, and parenting classes for new parents. Young families are choosing UNC Family Medicine for excellent care offered for prenatal, postpartum, well baby, and well child care. UNC Family Medicine, caring for the course of your life. For more information, visit uncfamilymedicine.org.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Duke Integrative Medicine presents a free screening of the award-winning documentary, Escape Fire, The Fight to Rescue American Healthcare. Follow dramatic human stories as well as leaders fighting to transform healthcare at the highest levels of medicine, industry, government, and even the U.S. military. Wednesday, September 19th, 7 p.m., Reynolds Theater on the Duke University campus. For your free tickets, go to tickets.duke.edu or call 919-684-4444.
This is Carolina Football on your flagship station for the Tar Heels, 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Both those running backs did a really nice job. I mean, it may have been more as a comfort level with guys, you know, just mentally than anything. But I thought that Romar really did a nice job when he had the ball in his hands. I thought Blue did also. I thought, you know, both of those kids were impressive to me in the game.
That is Carolina head coach Larry Fedora talking about the backup tailbacks who got quite a lot of action last week when Gio Bernard went out. A.J. Blue and Romar Morris performed admirably, and they'll have to do it again today because Gio did not even make the trip to Louisville. We have a special guest on our show today. This is The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. Our special guest is former ACC Supervisor of Football Officials Tommy Hunt. And a well-respected person who has officiated many ACC games and oversaw even more than that. And Tommy Hunt, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, and that was kind.
they get rougher than that, Tommy.
That's okay.
You know, guys, this is our third show, and we are becoming the place where retired experts come to talk. We had Richard Giannini, retired Southern Mississippi AD. Last week we had the retired godfather of sports medicine, Tim Taft. And now we have the retired former ACC official, head of officials, Tommy Hunt. You get these guys that are retired, they no longer are restrained by corporate locks and keys and locks. They can say anything. And they're experts. And we have literally the expert on football officiating with us today. Tommy's shaking his head and saying no, but you're the most expert in this studio right now. And that's what it counts. But we appreciate Tommy being with us. I got an hour's worth of questions to get in 10 minutes, Tommy. So we're gonna hit the deck running. Say hello to everyone at Durham Sports Club, everyone, all your friends over in Durham, and let's hit the deck running. You ready?
Well, hello. I'm ready to go.
Okay. Sports fans are united in one thing. Whether you wear red, dark blue, navy blue, black and gold, Carolina blue, they all believe that two elements are out to get them, the media and the officials. They all agree that the media and officials are against my team. They're out to get my team. When you're assigning officials back in your old position as supervisor, what are the rules as far as the connection that an official might have with a school as an alum or his children going there or living in the same city? What are the rules for an official working a stadium in the ACC?
Well, my rules were if he lived in that city, no, couldn't work there. Or if he had a child on the team, of course, he couldn't work.
Okay.
Or if he or she... We didn't have any cheese at that time. Went to school there. Of course, we wouldn't use them.
Okay. But they could work in the league.
They could work in the league, but not on that particular game.
What if they had a child who was going to school
at the time? That was okay. Yeah, we didn't extend it in that direction.
But if a man happened to live in Winston-Salem, you're not going to assign him to a Wake Forest game, even if Wake Forest is playing at Clemson.
Exactly.
Okay, he can't play with that team that's headquartered in his town.
That's right. He's got to go to church the next day or to the barbershop in a week, and that just puts him on the spot if anything happens.
In the ACC, our basketball officials become celebrities, infamous celebrities usually. They have for years. Lenny Wirtz and, different ones. Art remembers that better than I do, and certainly Carl Hess had a big incident last year. Because basketball is a more personal, direct, everyone crowded in there, why is it that football officials people can name Jim Knight. That's the only football official, and he's retired. Why aren't football officials celebrities like baseball, like basketball officials?
Well, Jimmy became a celebrity the wrong way, of course, unfortunately.
Well, two ways. He died and he...
No, he came back.
Well, no, he
and
died,
worked.
But he came back to life.
Oh, well, exactly. He was
in the
right place.
And then he made a certain call in a certain game in a certain West End zone.
Exactly.
But why aren't football officials... as well-known and hated individually as basketball officials?
The football officials, first of all, are working under a hat.
Okay.
Second of all, they on TV, the basketball officials are closer, working in closer proximity to fans. And when they call a foul, they address the scorer's table.
Okay.
And TV cameras right in their face.
Okay.
So football officials are not quite that way, and they like it that way. The best compliment you can have is work a game, and your friends say, well, I didn't know you were working that game. see.
Well, you and I are the same age. You remember the old, what I'll call the celebrity officials like Lou Bello and Charlie Erickson. That kind of guy would not make a good football official, would he?
Would not.
Although I think Lou probably worked football
would,
games.
I worked the games with Lou at times.
But to be a showman, that is not what a football referee is supposed to do.
No.
Have there ever been any showmen besides Lou Bello football refs that were had to be toned down a little bit?
They may have been a showman for one game, and that was it. It's serious business, and it's when you step across the line. I always told my officials, you step over that line, it's showtime, and there's no shenanigans. It's
but
business.
They're not the show.
They're not the show.
They're not the show.
The players are the show.
Tommy, let me ask you a question. Walk us through the path of how you become a college football official. Obviously, you have to start somewhere, but walk us through the path of how long it takes, considering that you are good enough to keep advancing.
That is the most common question that is asked of me. You take a guy that's 23 and wants to officiate football or any sport. He starts off at 23 and works 3 years midget ball, and now he's 26.
Recreation league, Pop Warner league.
Pop Warner league. Then he goes to junior high school and high school, starting at class A up to double A, triple A, 4A. He's worked there 8 years, and if my addition's right now, he's 34. And he still hadn't worked a college game. Now he's hoping to make it to a small college conference. I say small college.
Catawba, Wofford.
Division two or three. If he's lucky and he's good, most of all good, which comes with good recommendations, he can then get into a small college. He's going to work there 8 years. Now he's 42. Or thereabouts. I'm not sure about my mathematics. But you see, he's 40-some years old and never worked a Division I game. If he's very good, then he can get on a Division I conference. When I was working, I'd get 200 applications to fill three vacancies or four vacancies, depending on who retired, who got hurt, who I fired, whatever.
You get the feeling that Tommy was a tough guy to work for.
I do. But this is a great story. So of those, do you watch film of those guys?
Watch film.
Do you take their recommendations from other?
Recommendations from other leagues, other supervisors. A smaller supervisor would call me and say, look, I got a guy I want you to look at. I think he's good. And, of course, I have been to schools in the spring to look at one particular official and find another.
Kind of like Roy going on a recruiting trip.
Exactly.
Right.
Very similar. So that's how they, you see, people say, well, let's get younger people on the field. Let's say, what do you want? You want to put a college student out there? You guys that you see working in the ACC or Division I, they've been officiating 20 years at least. Most of them have, unless they got awful lucky or they were very, very good.
Now, you pointed out something to me when we were talking earlier. We talked about how the fans don't recognize officials because of the hat and whatnot, but the coaches do recognize the
coaches
official.
Know who you are.
So if you're a line judge or an umpire or something that we don't even know your name, couldn't pick you out of a lineup. That veteran coach knows who you are.
Coach
he knows your tendencies. He knows what you called on him 5 years ago.
And officials go to the coach before the game, say, coach, I'll be working your sideline. My name is so and so. Of course, he knows who they are. He's known that since the season began, who would be working that game. And they say, if you have any questions, any problems, if I can help you with anything, let me know. Stay out of the white. Give me the white part of the field to work in, and I'd appreciate it.
Now, people always say in basketball that Coach K owns certain officials. Do any ACC coaches own officials, Tommy?
No.
It's just me and you talking, Tommy. You can tell me.
No, that's absolutely false.
Well, Tom, but what does happen, though?
What
does happen, though, is from the attention standpoint, no matter what the official tells the coach before the game, the official gets the attention of the crowd and the radio announcer doing the play-by-play when the coach rips off his hat, rips off his headphone, takes two steps out on the field and gets into the official's face over a call that was made. That's when the anonymity of the official ends, correct?
Exactly, but you don't know what the coach is saying.
Oh, you want to come to dinner tomorrow night?
He may be saying, let's go to the movie after the game. You know, he's not most...
You're learning stuff here, folks. You won't get anywhere else.
They're not using profanity. I didn't have any coaches that used a lot of profanity. They did. If you had a foul and you backed up to the sidelines, you could hear them behind you calling your names. If you turned around, silence. Right. Nobody would be saying anything. But they were, overall, coaches were respectful.
Okay, Tommy, I got a question, and I would have given the wrong answer to this. And the question is, what is the hardest call for an official to make? I would have said something to do with pass interference, but no. You've got another answer to that.
No, the toughest calls, I was a back judge when I worked on the field. The toughest calls that I had were plays, punts, and kicks on the goal line. When the ball comes down on the 1 foot line or the 1 yard line and is either batted into the end zone or batted out of the end zone.
Now, it's where the ball is, not the player, right?
That's the ball.
The path of the ball itself.
That's right. The goal line is a plane. If a ball breaks that plane, and it's in the end zone.
And if the player is standing in the end zone, but he's reaching across and the ball yet has broken the plane, he can still down it at the 1 yard line, right?
He can. Mm-hmm. Now that pass interference and those calls are just common calls. People officiating at that level, they know what pass interference is.
Now tell me this. Now you've told us the path of everybody of officials getting. Now how did the NFL get replacement officials? They didn't dig into Division I, from what I know. Where did they go to get these guys?
Well, they did dig into Division I in some leagues. Mm-hmm. Some Division I officials chose to do that. They were either seeking a position in the NFL permanently, or the NFL went there first, of course, and then they went to Division II, Division III, and just put out a notice. They sent me a notice, and they said, do you have any names?
But you say these replacement refs aren't doing nearly as bad a job as the media is playing it out to be.
I can't say that because I haven't seen them work. I do know them. I know who most of them are. I know their background. They're good guys, and they are not intimidated by the crowds.
Well, the coaches were bellyaching during the preseason on whether, you know, the commissioner sent out a memo or something, you know, that calmed down. And the first week, I know that opening game between the Giants and the Cowboys, they supposedly had the scab all-star team working that game so the league could get off on the right foot. But the first week I watched several games, it didn't seem like there were that many problems. I didn't see coaches, going hysterical on the sidelines very much.
There will be problems. Mm-hmm. We've just started. There will be problems, and they may arise out of the fact that these people are somewhat, I use the term inexperienced, and not inexperienced from an officiating standpoint, but just the pro aspect of the game may be a little bit different.
But they're not used to, 80,000 people at the Meadowlands Stadium, the idea of X millions of people watching them on TV, that doesn't bother me.
No,
is blind to that.
No, he doesn't pay any attention.
All right, Tom, before you let you go, I got to ask you one non-football related question, okay? You're at the scorer's table in 1984 when Carolina played at Duke, the famous double standard game when Dean banged on the scorer's table. Tell us from the inside, what happened that
day? Okay, that actually happened twice.
He banged twice?
Dean, this is what happened. I was a timekeeper, and at that time they didn't have the belt devices. And Dean said there was 1 second left on the clock, and he had the ball out of bounds. That's what he said. And I said, underneath all the crowd and noise, I whispered in his ear, I said, no, the clock ran out. I'm sorry. There were other things said that we won't discuss here, but I tell you, after all that occurred, I found Dean to be a perfect gentleman after that occurrence.
Do you think we may have had the only man in America that's ever whispered in Dean Smith's ear?
Well, I did. Well, I had to.
Other than Doug Moe, maybe.
The Duke Stadium, I had to.
So would you say that that was definitely in the heat of the battle moment?
It was.
Yeah.
Dean was always a gentleman to me.
That was a classic game. And a little trivia question. I think that may have been the last Duke-Carolina game that was not on national TV. So.
And the only time a whisper has ever been audible inside the confines of Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Exactly.
Listen, Tommy's got to go, but if any of our listeners have a question that they would like to ask Tommy, they can email me at my website or whatever. We can call Tommy. So, you know, we now know Tommy Hunt is our official of good sport.
He's on the hook now, that's for sure. Tommy Hunt, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're so welcome.
Tommy Hunt, former ACC Supervisor of Football Officials. And this is the Good Sports on WCHL with RT and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Stutson, 97.9 FM, WCHL. Back with more. We'll talk about the acquisition of Notre Dame, the membership of Notre Dame in the Atlantic Coast Conference, and more coming up. Carolina versus Louisville on WCHL today. Kick time, 3:30. Keep it right here on WCHL.
I'm David Fitch of Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Just like on the playing field, teamwork is what you need to tackle any home project. Stop by and team up with Fitch Lumber and Hardware to score big on your upcoming goals. We can help. Get the local home field advantage at Fitch Lumber and Hardware, 309 North Greensboro Street in Carrboro, or call us at 919-942-3153. As always, thanks for your business.
I'm Kevin Cohan of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Eric White. Hey, Kev, what do you like most about living in Chapel Hill and working at Franklin Street Realty?
Well, Eric, for me, it's really about the people. Before real estate, I spent many years as the general partner of an investment firm interacting with a computer screen. Now, I really enjoy connecting with my clients and brainstorming with the great group of agents at Franklin Street Realty.
I agree. You know, I spent the first 20 years of my life in Chapel Hill, and the second 20 years spent mostly on Hilton Head Island running my marketing company, which specialized in real estate. I finally found my way back home. I love this town. So glad to be a Tar Heel again.
I know what you mean. I spent a few years overseas and in New York, but my heart never left the hill. It's great to know a place like the back of your hand, and it's really cool to be raising my family in the same great town where I grew up.
I hear you. You know, I feel like I am Chapel Hill.
And I am a true blue Tar Heel.
And we are Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
Really, why would you?
Is your free checking account costing you money? If you are required to maintain an average balance or inconvenienced by limited transactions, you should visit Harrington Bank. When Harrington Bank says free, we mean free. Free personal checking, free business checking, no lengthy requirements. Experience true community banking, where everyone knows your name and it doesn't cost you to bank with us. To learn more, visit one of our three convenient locations in Southern Village, Farrington Road, or Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Way too many missed assignments, which was, you know, totally different from what we did the week before. So when you have missed assignments and you start giving up plays because you're not where you're supposed to be, it definitely affected our mental makeup on that side of the ball, and that wasn't good.
That's Coach Fedora talking about all the defensive mistakes that Carolina made the last week against Wake Forest. Today, it's a brand new week. Carolina taking on Louisville. Kickoff time is 3:30. You'll hear it right here on 97.9 FM, WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz along with Art Chansky and Bob Lee, and this is The Good Sports, and we're going to talk more about that game coming up. But first of all, we certainly have to talk about Notre Dame coming into the Atlantic Coast Conference. What do you guys think?
Well, it's Matt Kupek upstaged Notre Dame. I think that's one of his claims to fame. Notre Dame joining the ACC wasn't the biggest story, at least at UNC. I think it's terrific that the ACC got Notre Dame. But, you know, the real story of it is that Notre Dame was looking for a place to go. They had no place else to go. No other league would take them without football. The Big Ten said, no, not without football, or at least let us share in the NBC contract. The Big 12 said no, because they already have two powerhouses in Texas and Oklahoma who are fighting like cats and dogs and getting more than the rest of the league, and Texas already has its own network on ESPN. So really, when you get right down to it, look what's happened to the Big East. You know, the Big East is now spread across the entire country with some schools we've never heard of before. Notre Dame needed a place to land in terms of its Olympic sports, and it needed a place that would allow them to keep their TV revenue from the NBC contract and then keep the bowl revenue. And the ACC clearly made a compromise on what their stance had been in the past, and it was clearly a defensive move because they didn't want to wake up. One of the officials told me at the press conference, "We didn't want to wake up in 3 years and find out that Notre Dame changed its mind." The Wake Forest president used to work at Notre Dame, so he was the one the most adamant about taking Notre Dame when we could. They didn't want to wake up one day and find out that Notre Dame was now in the Big Ten as a full football member. So the ACC did that, and it's terrific. But really, at this point in time, Ron, and Bob Lee, there's more sizzle than substance to it right now.
And do you know what Bob Lee says?
Well, in my heart of hearts, I'm an old school traditionalist. I want to go back to 8 members, including South Carolina. That's back to the 64. I mean, if I'm in charge. But as my mama used to say, old man Eusta is dead. So the way it used to be ain't the way it is anymore. And do you take Notre Dame or UConn or Rutgers? I'll raise your hands now. Who do you want? Notre Dame, UConn, or Rutgers? And certainly, I mean, it's did we grab our ankles? I don't think so. I'm okay with it. A trip to South Bend, it should be on every sports fan's bucket list. Now, Art, I went 6 years ago. I don't know whether you went up there for the John Bunning game, which the same weekend Butch Davis was hired, by the way, in a Chicago hotel suite.
I was there.
But everybody should go to that stadium and see a game to check it off your bucket list, but I don't need to go back.
Right, and then when Notre Dame should come to your stadium, I mean, you know, in 1975, Joe Montana was discovered in Keenan Stadium.
Yeah,
when Carolina was leading Notre Dame 14-0, and nothing was happening for Notre Dame on offense, and Dan Devine put Joe Montana, freshman, in the game, and the final score was Notre Dame 21, Carolina 14. So there is some lore to that whole thing. But, you know, when you talk about TV contracts and the things that could happen over the next 3 years is a 27-month exit period for Notre Dame. Maybe the Big East will let him out a little earlier for more money. But there's all kinds of questions about it. Like, here's the question that I have is, besides the contract, we can go back and talk about the TV contract, whether NBC and Comcast is going to renew that in 2015. Right now it's worth $15 million. Some people say that Comcast wants to go after more sports, and they don't want to lose money on that contract because Notre Dame's ratings have been falling from the last year. So, you know, that's one thing. And the other thing is that Notre Dame has no other sports programming. They have no college football except for Notre Dame. They have one NFL game. They have no NBA. They have no Major League Baseball. And they have the Olympics, and they have hockey.
Every 4 years,
yeah,
they have the Olympics.
Every 2 years. Well, two years, winter, yeah. Too. And so they have
don't
the NHL.
Luge.
But so that's one issue. The issue I have, that Notre Dame is, if they're going to keep all their bowl revenue, but they also get into the ACC rotation below the BCS. So I don't get that, because that seems to me like it's going to take another ACC team's place in a bowl game where Notre Dame is going to keep all the revenue, and that revenue is not going to go into the big pot at the ACC that's then split amongst all the teams.
Well, the other point that came up in the thing we haven't even talked about yet that I think was as big as Notre Dame coming in is the $50 million buyout if Clemson or Florida State or whoever wants to bail out to go somewhere else. That price of paying poker just went through the roof.
And that assures the league to stay. And I think that if Notre Dame stays out in football, the ACC will stay a 15-team league because in football it leaves them with 2 7-team divisions. If they should come in football, if they don't get the contract, or the ACC can renew their TV contract to such a level where it makes financial sense for Notre Dame to do it, then they'll take a 16th team, and then I think it'll be UConn or Rutgers. But that's down the road.
I'm going to go way out and say Penn State, but that'll freak everybody out.
Here's the other thing that's most interesting is that the Orange Bowl, it hasn't been announced yet, but you know the ACC champion is going to the Orange Bowl. We know that, but because the Big East has fallen apart, they're not going to be a BCS team anymore. There's going to be a pool of teams that are going to be eligible to have that slot against the ACC champ in the Orange Bowl. And that pool of teams is going to come from the Big Ten, the SEC, and dear old Notre Dame. Yeah. So,
Does Swarbrick get to sit on that BCS committee anymore as the 13th member representing one? I never liked that.
I don't know, but if Notre Dame has a season worthy of it, however they rate this, you know, if they're better than the second-place team in the Big Ten or better than the second-place team in the SEC or whatever, Notre Dame could end up in the Orange Bowl playing against one of its conference brethren.
Well, if Sparty spanks the leprechaun today, I think we can wipe that one out.
Well,
but this is not the Notre Dame of Joe Theismann, Joe Montana, and the Gipper.
And Lindsey Nelson.
It's not that Notre Dame anymore. Those echoes are not being awakened.
Okay. Well, hey, we're going to come back. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. We have what we call the two-minute drill coming up. And we'll also get these guys' predictions on the game, maybe some game scores. Who knows what these guys will say about it? Art Chansky and Bob Lee. This is Good Sports on WCHL. Our exclusive coverage of Carolina football, Carolina, and the Louisville Cardinals coming up today at Louisville. We'll have it for you. I'm Ron Stutz, back with more in just a moment.
I'm Edward Holmes, CEO of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. We operate 21 locations in North Carolina and are headquartered right here in Chapel Hill. You may know us for our 79-cent fountain drink, our sparkling, clean, and friendly stores, but we're just as proud of our community outreach. Earlier this year, we presented $20,000 to local schools and delivered refillable coffee mugs and gas cards to teachers and employees. At Cruisers, we believe being your locally owned convenience store means taking care of our customers, employees, and the people who make a difference in the community.
Cruisers. Good to go. Southern States Volkswagen of Durham is having their biggest sale of the year. Every model is on sale, and now is the time to buy your new Volkswagen. Take up to $2,500 off the 2012 Volkswagen Passat or get 0% for up to 72 months. With these deals, there's just one thing you ought to know. There's only one place you'll ever buy a car from again. Southern States Volkswagen of Durham. Based on stock number W8595. Includes all rebates, 0% on approved credit.
This is Scott Maitland, proprietor of Top of the Hill Restaurant and Brewery, and now Distillery. Lots of people have been asking me when our new Topo brand vodka will be in the stores. Well, after 5.5 years, I'm happy to report we just started shipping Topo vodka to the ABC stores. With luck, Topo vodka will be at your ECU or Idaho tailgate. Top of the Hill Restaurant, Brewery, and now Distillery, the social crossroads of Chapel Hill. Cheers!
Evaluate every detail of everything we did from the time we got them up in the morning on Friday and what they did Friday during the day and what we did, you know, so if we felt like that had anything to do with the outcome of the game. So we're constantly evaluating everything we do and tweaking things so that we feel like we can put our kids in the best position.
And it's Coach Larry Fedora talking about how the team gets ready for a road game in preparation for today's game against Louisville. Now on this show, we are to the part of the program we call the two-minute drill. I'm going to throw out some questions really quickly to these guys, Bob Lee and Art Chansky, and hear what they have to say. Here we go. What are your other two games that you will watch today?
Me is Florida-Tennessee. See if Tennessee is really back to being a top-flight SEC school. And the other one is later tonight. The SC Trojans versus Stanford. This could knock SC out. They haven't won at Stanford in a long time, and is Stanford any good without Andrew Luck? So those are my two, Florida-Tennessee and Stanford-Southern Cal.
Art Chansky.
Well, one of mine was Florida-Tennessee also, but my other one is Duke-NC Central. The problem is, to watch that, I've got to go to Durham because I don't even know it's on.
You better have a ticket. You'll have a hard time getting in the Wally.
It's on ESPN3, whatever that is. So.
Hey, future ACC members, Pitt and Syracuse, not doing too well this season. They're 0-4 with a combined record. How many combined football wins will Pittsburgh and Syracuse have this season?
Well, luckily they play each other, so that's one. Mm-hmm. I'm betting between them they don't have six wins by the end of the season.
Oh, between them both?
It's okay not to agree with me, Chance.
Okay, I'll say 11. That means one wins five and one wins six.
Syracuse plays mighty Stony Brook, a baseball fame today.
Those guys, you know, the whole ACC expansion deal is supposed to be for football reasons, you know, and so far we've made both sports worse. You know, I know you're the old 18 Tobacco Road guy, but Pitt and Syracuse are much better.
Well, Pitt is not the Dan Marino, Tony Dorsett Pitt, and this is certainly not the Jim Brown, Donovan McNabb orange anymore.
Right.
Yeah, the times they are changing. Syracuse and Stony Brook. Each will win 4 to 5 games.
Stony Brook's the baseball power now. Remember them in Omaha? Look out, Omaha. Here comes Stony Brook. All right.
I think we already answered this question, but since 15 is a non-number, who will eventually be the ACC 16th member?
Art? I'm going to say Penn State and blow the board up for you,
wow.
Anthony.
Yes, you will. And, Art, you already said...
I'm going to say UConn. Rutgers is really a better academic school, and that seems to be what the presidents care about, but I'm going to say UConn.
A Calhounless UConn?
No, absolutely, because they have, and now with Calhoun, they might not be cheaters anymore.
So well, Carolina plays Louisville today. Mm-hmm. Next week, Larry Fedora will lead the Tar Heels against East Carolina in Keenan Stadium. What is Fedora's coaching record for his career against the Pirates?
I know. But I looked it up.
Okay.
He's 2-2. Larry has dropped 2 games to the Purple People.
Mm-hmm.
He played them 4 times at Southern Miss. He's 2-2.
All right. Well, hey, UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham graduated from Notre Dame. He was on the athletic department staff there for 15 years. What is Bubba's favorite South Bend restaurant?
I'm going to say it's Murphy's Irish Pub.
I asked him, I said, Bubba, you're going to be in charge of picking the restaurants when we go up there for games. I said, what's your favorite restaurant? He said, Cracker Barrel.
Really?
Which doesn't say much for the restaurant, the Zabar Guide for Famous Restaurants in South Bend. Nah. Bubba Cunningham says, try the chicken and dumplings at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, it's a great steakhouse in South Bend.
Maybe it makes him a Southerner. You know, Cracker Barrel is very popular here in the South. Hey, we got that's a 2-minute drill on WCHL, on the good sports. And now let's get some predictions about today's game. What do you guys think going to happen in Louisville?
Well, I tell you, the Tar Heels, they're without Gio, they're without Jay Boyd, and it's going to be a very tough game for them. But I have faith in Larry Fedora. I think the offense is going to score enough points somehow, and the defense is going to be much improved, and the Tar Heels are going to spring the upset.
All right.
With all due respect to Tommy Hunt, I think the refs are going to steal it from us, mm-hmm. and we're going to lose 28-24.
My goodness. Okay.
Those darn refs.
Bold predictions. 1-1 there. That is it, folks. That is the good sports with Art C and Bob Lee. Art Chansky, WCHL, and ChapelBro.com. Bob Lee. Bob Lee says, check them out. This is Ron Stutz, and you're listening to our exclusive coverage of Carolina football on WCHL 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carbora's News Talk and Tar Heel Station. Coming up, the Tar Heel Sports Network, Jones Angel, Rick Steinbacher, and the crew. And after the network has done its job, WCHL will still be here with our postgame show called On the Heels with Paul Connell. Have a good day. Enjoy the game. Go Heels.